desperation, I turn to Jesus and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope. On me, you have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to out of the silence, the roaring lion declared, the grave has no claim on me. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe out of on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. How great the chasm that lay between us, how high the mountain I could not climb. Desperation, I turned to Jesus and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Jesus Christ, my living hope.
Okay, good morning again. Jesus Christ, our living hope. This morning, my message is going to be, without grace would be a very, very harsh message, but nonetheless, we cannot for a second back off from the truth of the gospel, from the truth of what the Word of God has for us. But however, we can apply grace to it. And grace means we are still living in the dispensation of grace, where grace, God's grace, when he was faced with the woman caught in adultery, grace was extended to her. The law wanted to stone her. Just remember that. And we've all been in that place, and maybe some of us still are, and we cry out for grace. We ask for grace. Even this very moment, the world needs Christianity. As much as they despise Christianity, they need Christianity because we're the salt. We're the ones that are keeping back judgment from coming in full force. They will realize that someday. If Sodom and Gomorrah would have had 10 people there, God would have spared it. You read the history or the story of that, what went down there. Abraham pleading with God, starting from 50, couldn't find 50, 45, and so on it went. I think even if Abraham would have continued and gone to 5, but he stopped at 10. And that's Lot, who was even himself vexed with the ungodly deeds of the wicked, troubled by them, but he was not much better in a sense because he offered his daughters to these godless people to have their way with them, but they didn't want that. They wanted the men. But before I get into this message, I'm going to ask us to rise, and we'll ask the Lord to have our hearts opened by his Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you will open every heart here. Lord Jesus, I, for one, want grace. With the harshness of the truth of the gospel, of what it presents, I ask for grace for myself and for everybody else, not to dilute your word, but to bring it forth in grace, Lord Jesus. And only your Holy Spirit can do that, can apply it with grace. You can. Moses came with the law. You came, Jesus Christ came with truth and grace. We ask for truth and grace to prevail here in Jesus' name. You may be seated. I'm going to start with... somehow I lost my... I sent it to Brandon, but I... starting Romans 1 with verse 18 to 21... this is in the New Living Translation, so it's going to be explicit, some of the stuff in here, so just heads up. But however, it said, I don't want to dilute anything. You will know what this is all about once the message is done, so bear with me. But God shows his anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. They know the truth about God, but because he has made it obvious, they know the truth about God because he has made it obvious to them. So I'm going to put my own thing in here. In the beginning, God spoke to the waters, and the waters brought forth life, especially the fish and all that they're in. Then he spoke to the earth, and the earth brought forth living creatures. And you can read it. That's how it's stated. Then he spoke to himself. He says, let us make man in our own image. And he brought forth mankind. So my point to this is, without water, fish die. Without the earth, animals die. And humans, without God, will surely also die. So we need God. So continuing from verse 20 there, for ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and the sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and his divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. And this is the scientific community. They know God. And I'll get into a few testimonies of this, about how the ones that are honest with themselves find God. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. Yes. They knew God, but they wouldn't worship Him as God or even give Him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of how God was like. Isn't that the truth? That we have inserted just another religion of evolution into our school system, and taken out basically the Bible. If they would be taught side by side, then you decide what's true or not. At least teach them both as a religion, and then you decide what the truth is. But no, you put out the other one and inserted your own religion and your own ideas of how things happened, and you have no. To insert billions of years and then to say, well, prove me wrong, well, it goes both ways. That's called circular reasoning. They just continue going in a circle. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. Guess what we're having? We're having dark minds and confused minds. So here's a little bit of a testimony of an atheist who had studied chemistry. Following in his grandpa's and his dad's footsteps, they were both chemists, and they hated his dad. Actually, his grandpa. No, his dad was a communist in the States. Had a communist part of the Communist Party in the States in the 30s. Can you imagine? His grandpa was his grandpa. In the States, I didn't know they had a communist party in the States at that time because they were so anti-communism back then. But anyway, he was part of that party. And they were, like I said, chemists, all three of them. He was following his grandpa and his dad's footsteps. But after a few years, he decided to go into biology. He enjoyed the study of living organisms like cells and so forth. So at one day, as he said, and this is his own testimony, he's giving the testimony, he said, I was looking through the microscope, looking at these cells, and saw the life there. And he said, all of a sudden, I feel like my spine was crawling, something was happening to me. He said, in a split second, I became, from a full-blown atheist, I became at least an agnostic, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there is a God, not knowing. Basically, that's what agnostic is. You don't really know where it came from. It came from somewhere, but you don't know where. So for 10 years, or 22 decades, he said, through his work and through visions that the Lord had given him and dreams, the Lord had showed him what Christianity was all about. Then a man invited him to a church, a Catholic church. And because he was so brainwashed in what church was, he thought he'd come in and they'll start condemning him to hell right away. So he said, I walked into the church, obviously sat way in the back, and guess what the priest was talking about? Love. Not even Jesus' love, just love. But a light went on in him, he said. They didn't condemn me, they talked about love. So I was lied to. He says, that was the first sign in my heart that I was being lied to from my folks, that they were not telling me the truth. They had brainwashed me all these years that the church will just condemn you. So he went down the path, like I said, for 20 years, and then he said eventually he gave his life to Jesus Christ. And guess what he's doing now? Now he's teaching the origin of life, which evolution does not teach because it doesn't know where it came from. It would have to admit the Bible is true, and this is what where he is. And here's another quick story of a street preacher in Los Angeles who was confronted by a well-known atheist who had challenged him to a debate. The preacher gladly accepted the debate under one condition, that the atheist should bring one person that who was down, broken, a drug addict, alcoholic, and you name it, was just finished, who had cried out in his despair to atheism. Bring that person. And I will bring 100 who have met Jesus Christ, who were in the same state, and have given their life to Jesus Christ. He couldn't bring one person, so he had to forfeit the debate. And you know what? There is lots of proof of Jesus Christ. We just need to look around. He has changed thousands and thousands of people's lives. I'm one of them. I'm sure all of you here can attest to that, that he's changed your lives, your attitudes, your way of thinking. This is atheism only works when things are going good. When things fall to pieces, your religion will fall to pieces. Jesus Christ will not. When it goes bad, I have something to turn to or to lean on to. If it goes good, I will praise him even more for it. And this is the true nature of Christianity. So back to Romans 1 now, continuing with verse 23. So instead of worshiping the glorious and everlasting God, they worshiped idols made to look like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles. And we can see that all around us, how they're worshiping animals. The animal rights activists have taken this to a whole new level. And I want to interject something else here. Did you know that the Bible, one of the Ten Commandments, it's even in the King James Version, it says, thou shalt not kill. That is actually not true. It says, thou shalt not murder. There's a difference between killing and murder. The difference is, killing would be all-inclusive. You could not kill nothing. You could not kill an animal. You could not kill another person in self-defense. You could not go to war. So no, it means thou shalt not murder. That is when you have murder. You can do that with your heart already by hating somebody. That is murder. So there is a time and a place for that, for killing. And if you've ever worked with hogs and with livestock, I've done a lot of butchering myself. And I've shot a lot of deer. And I thank God that he has given us the freedom to do this. Thank you, Lord. So so God abandoned them to do whatever shameful things their hearts desire. As a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other's bodies. They traded the truth about God for a lie. So they worshipped and served the things God created instead of the Creator himself, who is worthy of eternal praise. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So that is why God abandoned them to their shameful desires. Now we're living in a dangerous area. This is where God has backed off and said, okay, have it your way. And by the way, civilizations have been destroyed because of this, but we have learned nothing from history. So even the women turned against the natural way to have sex and instead indulged in sex with each other. And the men, instead of having normal sexual relations with women, burning with lust for each other. Men did shameful things with other men. And as a result of this, they suffered within themselves the penalty they deserve. It's not going to get prettier. Since they thought it foolish to acknowledge God, he abandoned them. It says he gave them over to a reprobate mind in the King James Version. So they thought it foolish to acknowledge God. He abandoned them to their foolish thinking and let them do these things that should never be done. Their lives became full of every kind of wickedness, sin, greed, hate, envy, murder, quarreling, deception, malicious behavior, and gossip. See, these are all included. We're all capable of those things. But when you open a can of worms, all the other things just seem to spiral out of control. And so they are backbiters, haters of God, insolent, which means rude, arrogant, and a lack of respect, proud, boastful. They invent new ways of sinning, and they disobey their parents. They refuse to understand, break their promises, are heartless, and have no mercy. They know God's justice requires that those who do these things deserve to die, yet they do them anyway. And worse yet, they're not happy with just they themselves doing it. They want you to agree with them and encourage you to do the same thing too. This is what we're seeing right now, especially with the LGBTQ and with the trans. They do not accept it. I'm fine. If they want to do what they want to do, they can do what they want. Let them do it. They shouldn't tell me that it's normal. I'm not going to try to justify my sins and say, you need to accept me. No, I will repent of my sins. And this is where we're at. So I'm going to change a little bit of direction here. So we saw how it works with the ungodly. Now let's take a look of what's in our hearts. How do we operate? How are we responding to our everyday challenges? So you want to know what's in your heart? So listen to the word. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So they say out in the country that down in the well, whatever is deep down in the well will come up in a bucket. That's whatever's down there comes up. So harsh words, a harsh heart, an angry heart. Negative words, guess what you've got? A negative heart. Overactive words, like talking all the time, an unsettled heart. Boastful words, got an insecure heart. Filthy words, you've got a dirty heart. Critical words, you've got a bitter heart. Encouraging words, you have a happy heart. Gentle words, you've got a loving heart. Truthful words, you have an honest heart. So you want to know what's in your heart? Pay attention to what comes out of your mouth. And that includes me. So I'm going to jump to James here and finish in conclusion. James 3, verse 5 to 12. This is out of the King James Version. So even so the tongue, and here he's talking to believers. This is Christians here. So even so the tongue is a little member and boasts of great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindles or starts. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the cars of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. Of every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed. We have tamed, humans have tamed them all. They have been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is unruly, evil, and full of deadly poison, wherewith bless we God, even the Father, and wherewith we curse, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the likeness of God. Out of the same mouth comes blessing and cursing. Look what he says here now. My brethren, this should not be like that. In this case, my brothers and sisters, this should not be like that. So if you find yourself doing that, put a check in your heart. Ask for grace. Ask the Lord to put a check there and change. And again, it says, no man, not even yourself, can tame your tongue. Remember when the people came, when the rich man came and asked Jesus, what must I do to enter into the kingdom of God? And Jesus told him, well, you have to love the Lord your God all your heart and all your soul. Love your neighbor as yourself. And he basically went through the law. And the young rich man said, well, I've done these things since my youth. I think right there he was a liar. But that's my opinion. Anyway, Jesus said that he answered discreetly. So he said to him, well, if you want to have a part in my kingdom, go and sell everything that you have and give it to the poor. Even there, we miss what Jesus meant because he saw where his God was. He wouldn't have had to sell it, but God knew. Jesus knew his heart was attached to that. And then what happened after? When the disciple said to him, well, who then can be saved? This is the same as this with the tongue. With God, all things are possible. Jesus can tame your tongue. The Holy Spirit can tame your tongue. You need power, an outward power to tame your tongue. So let us open our hearts and ask the Lord to tame our tongues. I know we can all use it, especially me, that the Lord watch my tongue. And if I cannot bless